We are in a series titled The Best Christmas Yet. And the reason is we've called it that is because you and I can experience a Christmas season that can be the best compared to anything in the past. We do it repetitiously, annually, and it kind of becomes old, but this can be the best Christmas yet. You know why? When you and I understand the gifts that God wants to deposit into each of our lives through Christ, and we discover something new, it becomes fresh, and it becomes alive, and it can be the best Christmas yet. 2 weeks ago, we talked about hope, and we all need hope, and here's the definition we used. We said hope is not wishful thinking. Rather, it's an expectation based on the promises of God. Do you want to build hope into your life? Get away with God's word. Read it. Let him speak a promise or promises into your heart about your life and your future, and you will get traction on this thing called hope, about what God wants to do in your life. Last week, we talked about peace, and peace is something we all want and need. We are made for peace. But we often struggle to find it. And here was the definition we used. We said peace is a supernatural inner calm. You see, everybody here wants calm on the inside. I mean, with COVID and all the things in our world going on, we just yearn for peace. We just want to have a sense of rest on the inside. It's a gift that Christ wants to deposit into your life if we open our hearts to it. Well, today we're talking about something called joy. Joy. And I want to read a verse from the Old Testament. It's not in your notes. It's not on the screen. I want you to just listen. From the book of Zephaniah, an Old Testament book with three chapters. Here's what it says, verse 17. The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a Savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. God rejoices over you with joy. We don't often think that. We often feel condemned. We work through the struggles of life. But it says, God will rejoice over you with joy. God has joy just looking at your life today. When we're in Christ, he made us, he redeemed us. And listen to the rest of this. He, God, will rest in silent satisfaction. And in his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exalt over you with singing. When we have Christ in our life and the covering of his righteousness, he looks at our life and he says he rejoices over us with joy. He will not recall our past sins. He rejoices with singing. So when you think that God is a God of joy, The key thought of today's message is this. He wants to download his joy into your life. He wants to give you something that's a part of him. And so as we look at this scripture, it's amazing to think that he, God, rejoices over us with this thing called joy. I want to share, there's a verse in your notes. Let's read that together. It's from John 15:11, the words of Jesus. Let's read it together. It's at the top of the sermon listening guide. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Jesus is saying, I want to put joy into your life so that your joy is complete. There's something fulfilling about getting the joy factor from God into our life. So let me give you a definition of joy that I want to use for the message. It's in your notes. Joy is this. It's a spirit-filled positive attitude toward life regardless of the circumstances. Joy comes from an attitude from the Holy Spirit that is a positive attitude, a positive outlook, a positive mindset, a positive approach of how we view life. Someone has said, happiness depends on your circumstances. I mean, we all want to be happy, and when things are going well, we feel good, we feel happy. Joy, on the other hand, listen, depends on your attitude. Joy depends on your attitude, and when you have a spirit-filled, positive attitude or outlook or mindset, joy becomes a major component of your life. I want to share three slides of just some insights of joy. Here's the first one. Joy is serious business in heaven. You know, the Bible says that When one person repents or turns their heart towards Christ and receives him as Savior, it says there's rejoicing in heaven, and the angels of heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. So C.S. Lewis says, you know, joy is a big deal in heaven. It's a very key part of who God is. Here's another quote. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It's the presence of God. So understand, when we talk about joy today, it does not mean your life is going to always be smooth and easy. As a matter of fact, you might have great adversity in it. But joy is there to trump it and to be a major part of it because it depends on our attitude. It's not the absence of suffering, it's the presence of God in us. And here's the last one. I kind of like this one, so I put it in. Joy is the best makeup. Whether you're a guy or girl, and when you get up in the morning and we get dressed, there's one thing we all want to put on. You know what it is? A good attitude. If you get dressed in the morning, we all put on clothes, which is good. It's a good thing. But we need to dress ourselves in a different way. We need to clothe ourselves with a positive mental outlook of who we are in Christ, because that is where joy comes from. And so we need to clothe ourselves in that way. So this morning, here's what I want to do. I want to share four thoughts about joy. Then I'm going to talk about how can we get more joy, all right? And so when you leave here, I hope you feel like you're empowered, or if you receive some new insights of how to get greater joy in your life. First of all, four truths about joy. Number one, an angel described the Christmas message. An angel did. Read with me the couple of verses in your notes. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." If you have a pen or a pencil, circle the words "good news." The angel described the message as good news. You know, if you were to receive a letter in the mail, and let's say you received an inheritance from someone you were not expecting, I tell you, that'd be good news, wouldn't it? We all love good news. And the angel says, "I've got some good news for you today. You have an inheritance coming your way if you want it." Circle the words "great joy." Not only is it good news, but it's a message of great joy. And so the angel says, listen, great means mega or big or large. It's kind of like this thing's huge. And he says there's joy involved with this message for all people. If you're here today and you wished you had more joy in your life, the Christmas message is for you. You know why? God wants to deposit something into your life. We just have to position ourselves to receive it. And so the angel described the Christmas message in that way. Here's a quote from Mother Teresa. "Joy is a net of love by which you can catch souls. Let me explain that. When we see the joy God has for us, it becomes a net of love that draws us to Himself. But when you have joy in your life, it becomes a net whereby you catch other people. They are drawn to you all because of what they see in you. See, the joy is a magnetic drawing force, and so it catches souls. It draws us in. There's something magnetic about it. Number two, Paul said joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. Read with me Galatians 5, 22 and 3 in your notes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When a person's been born again, when they've asked Christ into their life and there's a living relationship with Him, it says that there are nine fruits of the Spirit of God that are produced in us. One of the nine listed here is this thing called joy. And we find that joy is just something that happens because of God's presence in our life. Here's a quote. Joy is God's presence in our life. And so if you have Christ in your life, you should have joy growing as a fruit. I have two questions to ask you. Number one, who is the most joyful person in your family? Don't have to answer it. Who is the most, and I don't mean the funniest, I don't mean the smartest, I don't mean none of those things. Who is the most joyful? The person that's got the best attitude. You're sorting through them right now. Now, here's the second question. Listen closely. Why can't it be you? Now, maybe it already is. Maybe you, when you get together with your family over Christmas or events, whatever it is, maybe you are the most positive, joyful person in the crowd. That's awesome. That's the way it should be. But why can't you be if you're not? It's available. And when people get around you, you become a catcher. You become something people are drawn to because they see something in your life. You got an attitude that just is way above everybody else's. Your spirit-filled, positive outlook in life does something for yourself and other people. So Paul said it's a fruit that grows in our life. Number three, I love this one. Your joy can increase. Let's read together Isaiah 9, 2, and 3 in your notes. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. Isaiah is saying this, your joy can be increased, it can be expanded, it can be multiplied. Now here's a question, do you have more joy today than you did 6 months ago or a year ago? Or does the meter, the needle on the meter, the joy meter, is it about the same place? You have a joy tank. It's something inside you, and it's at a certain level. And so the scripture says that your joy can increase if you want it to, which is wonderful. We're all candidates. You know why? The angel said, I bring you good news. You've got an inheritance coming of great joy. It's mega, it's big, and it's something God will download into our lives if we let Him, if we lay hold of a spirit-filled positive attitude. It can not only transform us, it touches the people around us. Here's a quote. A joyful face is always a beautiful face. So when you think about 2 weeks, you'll be getting together for Christmas, a little less. Some you might have a party before, a party after. A joyful face is always a beautiful face. You need to be that in your family. God wants you to be that. Number four, the fourth truth about joy is this. Joy is embedded into one's spirit by believing the promises of God. Joy becomes embedded, a part of you. You're joined to it. It's grafted in into your spirit by believing the promises of God. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in prison. It says it's about midnight, and Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. How could two people be imprisoned for their faith, but then decide to sing a hymn at midnight? You know what the answer is? Listen, they had embedded the promises of God into their spirit. How can Nick Vujicic, who was born with no arms and no legs, how can a guy who was bullied as a kid and who was even suicidal at times, how could he grow up to become an international speaker and inspiration to millions of people around the world? You know what it was? He had embedded into his spirit the promises of God. Johnny Erickson Tata, age 17, Chesapeake Bay, dove off something and went into the bay. It was shallow. She thought it was deep, and she broke her neck. She became a quadriplegic for the rest of her life. How could she, after these decades, somehow, some way, from a wheelchair, encourage so many people around the world to keep on keeping on? The answer? She had embedded into her spirit the promises of God. You want joy to grow in your life? You want to become more joyful? Here's how you do it. You literally get away with the Word of God, and you feast on a promise, and it's a handlebar that gives you hope, and it becomes embedded in your spirit, and the more you hang with it, the greater you become, the more positive an individual you'll be to others. Things like this, Romans 8:37. It's on the back side of your sermon listening guide. Paul writes this. He says, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. What have you got going in your life that is working against you? And do you have a promise that pushes back against it and says, wait a minute, I am more than a conqueror? I tell you what, that's a spirit-filled attitude that's saying, I'm going to push back on this. How about this one? And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. You got anything in your past that continues to drag you down? It just kind of gnaws at you. You're still working on it, trying to get victory. I've got it. Maybe you've got it too. Here's the deal. Can you and I believe that this promise can apply to something I'm struggling with? And that if I keep a good attitude, God will make it work for good. Read with me the next verses, Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. You know what a joy depleter is? Complaining and arguing. It'll suck the joy right out of us and everybody else. On the other hand, Paul says, hey, do not complain or argue. Hold back, pull it back, rein in on it. But rather, if you and I keep the positive attitude, we can shine like stars. I want you to think forward to your family get-togethers. We have a choice to make. Do we want to shine like stars? We do. God wants you to. How do you do that? Well, you allow the promises of God to become embedded into the spirit of who you are, and you just live there, despite what the circumstances might be. So four truths about joy. The angel described the Christmas message. It's good news of great joy. Paul said it's a fruit that grows in our life. It can increase. And joy is embedded in our spirits when we believe and hang on to the promises of God. Here's a quote on this one, just a good one to finish out number four. I find joy in every day, not because life is always good, but because God is good. You see, if you and I believe that and we every day renew that, the promises become embedded in us deeper and deeper, and we have more of a joy factor in our life. So let's move to the second main category. How do we have more joy? You may be here today, and your joy may be way up there, but I want to talk to you about how you get more of it, how you can experience a fuller tank of joy. Number one, it's in your notes. The first thing we have to do is we have to choose it. This is a decision of your will. You choose it. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, these verses are amazing verses that probably are one of the greatest examples in the scripture of how clear it can be of the choice factor. So let's read these together. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in my God. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Get your pen or pencil out. I want you to circle a few words. The very first word, circle it, though. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vine. Though, that's the second one, the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food. Though, there's a third one. There are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls. There are three thos listed. Then there's a comma. And the next word is the key word. It's a transition. It pivots. There's a choice that is made. Though this has happened, though this is in my life, though I do not like it, comma, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Circle the word yet. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. You see, it's a choice. A positive, spirit-filled attitude or outlook, a mindset in life is based on a choice. Yet, I will rejoice and be joyful in God, my Savior. Now, you're here this morning, and here's what I want you to do. You have your own though. T-H-O-U-G-H. You've got them. There's something that's not perfect in your life, something that may be really gnawing at you. Could be in a relationship, could be health, it could be a lot of things. I want you to write down your though. Identify them. Doesn't take long. Probably two or three things. You say, wow, this is really bugging me. It's the though in my life. But listen, you then put a comma. Though this is in my life, comma, yet I will rejoice and be joyful in God my Savior. You see, we have to live life on the other side of the comma for the joy factor to increase. We got to choose it. We make a decision. We have to go after it. And God honors that when his people live by faith based on his word and what he promises to do in our lives. Here's a quote. Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. It's not a one-and-done deal. You got to do it every day, sometimes throughout the day. But the point is this, it will not just fall into your lap. If you know a person that is a joyful person and they have the presence of God living in them, you look at their life, you can see it, it's they're draped in God's blessing. Let me tell you, it's a choice that the people have to make repeatedly to turn the joy needle, to get it from low to get it higher on the joy tank. And we have to choose it every day and keep choosing it throughout the day. So understand, point number one, you want more joy in your life? God wants to give it to you, but you got to choose it because you got to live on the other side, the comma, from the those things in life that tend to, we're battling and struggling with. Number two, the second thing of how to get more joy is this. As you abide in him, receive it from him. As you abide in your relationship of Christ itself, you then receive it from him. Read with me John 15 in your notes. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You see, it's the vine and the branch connection. We are the branch, Jesus is the vine, and when we remain connected to him, here's what happens. The nutrients of the vine flow into the branch. And one of those nutrients is joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's one of nine things. And if we hang with it and we remain there, we live there, we have our daily devotions. We get up and we take some time to read his word. We spend time praying. We meditate. We just say, God, here I am. Don't rush past that in your day. You know why? When you remain in him, what he is flows into your life. And part of that is joy. I've got a slide I want to show you. It's Christmas wisdom, all right? Here it is. Everybody here is going to be getting some gifts, more than likely, over the next couple weeks. It's kind of what Christmas, that's what part of it is. Joy is not in things. It's just in us. You might get a big gift, and it might give you a thrill for a while, and that'll make us all happy. We'll enjoy it, and we should enjoy it. But let me tell you, you know what true joy is? It's not depending on the circumstance. It's depending on my attitude. You may not get any presents. You can still have a good attitude and have joy. So joy is not in things. It's just who we are on the inside through Christ. And it transcends all of the things of life. We just have to abide in him and receive joy from him. Finally, number three. The third truth about how to have more joy is this. Draw strength from it. Draw strength. Read with me Nehemiah 8:10 in your notes. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the Lord, joy of the Lord, is your strength. This is kind of a Christmas verse. You know what he's saying? Do something for other people. This church, I got to commend you as a people. That's who you are. It's who we are. And maybe your neighbor, nobody knows anything about it but you, or something we do as a church. Just, it says, send something to those who have nothing prepared. Just bless other people this Christmas. Just find somebody to go out of your way and do something for. But then catch this. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want to feel stronger about the day? Fill your joy tank. How do you fill your joy tank? You choose it. It's a spirit-filled, positive attitude or outlook toward life. has nothing to do with your circumstances. You can have great adversity in your life, but still have joy. And so Nehemiah says, hey, the joy of the Lord can be your strength. Here's a verse or a quote in relation to this. Oh, if Johnny could put that one up. There we go. Joy is contagious. So when you think about your family get-togethers, if you're the joy leader in your family, in your home, it's going to be contagious. People are going to look at you and say, wow, you know, he or she, what's up with that? What's up with him or her? It's contagious. They'll see something that they don't have. That's the way it's supposed to work. You know what? You'll become a catcher of souls, like Mother Teresa said. Your love, your joy will draw people in. Joy is contagious. So how do you have more joy in life? You choose it. Though this is wrong in my life, comma, yet I will rejoice and be joyful in God my Savior. Number two, as you abide in him, receive joy from him. It's a natural flow. Number three, draw strength from it and live out of the joy of your life as a source of power and energy. Here's the last concluding slide. If you surrender your life to God, you have the joy of his presence. If you just give him every compartment of your heart, every room, every doorway, every choice, everything, if you just surrender all that to him, God will fill you with his presence, and part of that presence is a thing called joy. I'm going to conclude by reading the verse I started with in the book of Zephaniah. Here's what it says. The Lord your God is with you in the midst of you, a mighty one, a Savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He's the source. He's got joy just looking at your life. You're his daughter. You're his child. He sees how special and valuable you are. He will rest in silent satisfaction. And in his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins. It's called forgiveness. Or even recall them. He will exalt over you with singing. Let God download joy into your life this moment by just surrendering yourself to him. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just a couple of thoughts. How's your joy factor? Are you your family's most joyful person? We got to choose it. We got to live on the other side of the comma. Though this is in my life, yet I will rejoice and be joyful in God my Savior. It's a choice. It's an attitude. I'll abide in him. And as I abide, it'll flow into my life, the nutrient, this thing called joy. We then draw strength from it, and we live out of it, and it's contagious to others. But it all starts with the surrender of your life to God. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, have you surrendered everything to him? I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Father, thank you that you love me and that through Christ, I'm amazingly special to you. Forgive me of my sins. I open the door of my heart and I invite Jesus into my life, or I recommit my life to him. Live in me and through me, and bring greater joy into my life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if anybody prayed just to ask Christ into your life, would you put your hand up and put it back down? Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. How about, did anybody just recommit themselves and say, you know, I want more of it. Anybody here? Thank you. Thank you. Father, make us a joyful people. It's Christmas season. And I pray that every person here will become the most joyful person in their home beginning today by choosing a spirit-filled, positive attitude toward other people, toward our circumstances, toward our futures, and even toward our past, all because you've redeemed us and rescued us in Christ, and our hope is in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.